again. Thank you. Yes. Like, he's like, the world. Yes, I've given you the stock, you know. Yeah, it's like, I like writing those. I wrote one where he's like, when the entire stock market hit a new record, and he was saying, you know, it's all due to us. And yes, you know, your letters and cards are really appreciated, and my office is filled with flowers. And, whatever. After, it is really fun to do. Like, after, you know, after I start writing a blog, like, it actually is, it's kind of addictive, because you can get up every morning, and there's, like, wacky, insane characters that, like, you can, like, tap into and be like, oh, what would Steve think?
Alright, I'm here with Forbes senior editor Dan Lyons, but you might know him better as the fake Steve Jobs. So, Dan, what brings you to Microsoft today?
Well, I just gave a speech at in the conference center here, and it's around my book that just came out called Options, which is a book about Steve Jobs, and it sort of draws on the world of the blog, and had a good crowd and told some jokes, and yeah, it was fun. People here have a really good sense of humor, yeah. I think, and they, yeah, they really, I guess they really like the blog, so it was cool, yeah.
What motivated you to start the fake Steve Jobs blog?
It was really kind of a lark. I was just blogging and was trying to figure out how blogging worked. And I also had this idea, like, if you did this imaginary CEO blog that was sort of like if a CEO went off the rails and decided just to really say what was on his mind. Somehow I chose Steve Jobs out of all these CEOs you could choose, and kind of got going. And then people started reading it. It was like,
it seems like there's an honesty there that you don't find in your more established print media.
Well, there's certain things you can't say, I guess, in straight-up media. Or I guess you could. I mean, now my blog has become part of the Forbes.com website, so now it's become mainstream media, which is weird. But, in fact, it's very different now than when I first started. There were little tiny items, and they were mostly just jokes about hanging upside down in gravity boots while they do their brainstorming sessions at Apple and stuff. But then I started covering tech news, using the blog to cover tech news, and that was interesting. And you could cover it in a way that was sort of cynical and in a way more honest than what you could do in a story where I just randomly bang stuff out all day long. If I get up in the morning before I go to work, I'll try to check my mail from overnight and moderate comments and write a couple things there. And sometimes I'll carry one around in my head for a while. I'll be thinking about something I should write, and then I'll finally sit down and write it. But no, basically, it's really, really seat of the pants. And, you know, even the punctuation and the grammar is not always there. I just kind of, bam, spill them out as fast as I can.
When you first went into it, did you know that you'd be found out eventually? Or did you
think
you could keep it going for a lot longer?
Well, I didn't think I would keep it going, but I thought I would just do it for a few weeks, have some fun, and, like, shut it down, and, like, you know, my friends would have a little laugh, and so some people, you know, I sent links to a couple people, and then it started getting this audience, and then it was, like, kind of almost scary. It was like the snowball thing, like you said. It was like, you know, suddenly, oh my God, there's, like, a real audience, and, you know, and it was growing. And
what was it like when you saw other people outed as the real fake?
That was hilarious. I really, and I loved, because Ballywag was really after me, and there was an even backstory to that. Was it Ballywag, or Gawker, which owns Ballywag, was trying to hire me. They kept running to fake Steve saying, why don't you come write Ballywag? And I said, no. And I was going back to them saying, why don't you buy my blog and, you know, promote it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we couldn't come to terms with it. And then they decided if they couldn't hire me, they would try to out me. And I was really scared, because I thought they had, the first time they put out a thing saying, we figured out who it is, we're going to announce it tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh. And I even wrote them an email saying, please don't do this, you know, why, what's the point, you know. So it was very gratifying to see them. They guessed wrong three times, which was pretty funny.
But when did you know that it was finally over?
When Frank Shaw wrote me from Microsoft, Wagner Edson wrote me an email about a week before it happened saying, do you hear the footsteps? You know, they're closing in on you, and we know it's you. And I was like, oh. I just played dumb and said, oh, I know what you're talking about. But
yeah,
I knew it was over, yeah.
So is it harder now that you've been found out? Do you wish you were still anonymous?
No, it's actually better in a way. I was scared, and I realized afterwards, like, it was so silly to be so scared, because actually, you know, I guess I didn't realize people actually really liked the blog, and all the stories that came out were, you know, pretty positive. And get it, like, people had thought, oh, it's this funny blog and it's cool. The only fear I had is that people would stop reading the blog, and so far that hasn't really happened. I mean, the readership went down a little, but I think that's more because of a lull in Apple news. But you know, it's actually better, because I can come do things like this now, and, you know, meet people, and it's actually really fun.
So what else is different? Do you get more tips or less tips?
More
now,
actually it? Now. I guess you get a lot more material. I would say I just get a lot of email now, like lots and lots of email, which is really cool. But
And your day job at Forbes, how did they react? When did you let them in on the joke?
Months and months ago, like last March, and that at that point they started saying, let's try to figure out a way that we could do Fake Steve or something like Fake Steve on the Forbes.com site. We could kill Fake Steve and do a new made-up character or some kind of a blind item, you know, gossip column.
And they actually approached you before you
before I was outed, before they knew who I was, they were writing to Fake Steve, trying to get Fake Steve to come work at Forbes.
So you thought then, oh, it's pretty good.
I thought I'm probably pretty safe. Match. They're probably not going to can me, you know, because they're probably going to be all right with it. But, you know, there were people on the print side of Forbes who I don't think were too happy about it. And I don't know. Anyway, it turned out okay. So
yeah. So tell me a little bit about your book Options. How was it different from the blog?
Well, it's all different material. So it draws on the world of the blog, where it's same
based
voice.
Around the scenario of the options.
It's based, the narrative arc, so to speak, of the story is that the Steve Jobs. It begins with him finding out that the SEC is looking into their options, and you know they might all go to jail and blah blah blah. How are we going to get out of trouble? And then it has digressions into, you know, a night out with Bono or hanging around with Larry Ellison.
Yeah.
But it's basically, so it's the world of the blog and the characters from the blog, but it's very narrowly focused, and it's a story that the material is not stuff that was in the blog. So if you were a blog reader, you would find it familiar and you'd get a kick out of it and you'd get the jokes, but it also wouldn't just be like reading the same blog entries you've already read over and over. I mean, there are a couple elements where I took stuff that had been on the blog originally and reshaped it into the book. but essentially, it's a whole new thing. For example, you know, the Beastmaster just isn't really in the book at all. I mean, there's a couple references to Gates and a couple references. No, there's like Sun isn't. A lot of things that are in the blog quite a bit are not even in the book at all. So
yeah. So you've gone from the blog to the book, and the next logical step is the movie. So who's going to play you in the movie?
I hope it's Will Arnett should play Steve Jobs. I think he would be a great Fake Steve. But there's also I've been working with a guy to develop a sock puppet internet TV show. Which sounds really bad, but I think it's going to be good. We haven't worked it out yet, but so we might do some sort of fun kind of video stuff like that. But maybe a movie or a TV show. I've had talks at Comedy Central, talked to me a while ago, but even before I was outed, we'll see. I don't know if anything really come of that. But
so the real Dan Lyons. What's your favorite gadget? What's your favorite tech that you play with?
Oh, my favorite thing, this is boring, but I have a BlackBerry Curve that I got a few months ago, and I just love it. I mean, it's not very, it's kind of, for a Curve, for a BlackBerry, it's sexy, right? Mm-hmm. But that's like saying, you know, for a Subaru, it's sexy, right? I mean, it's like BlackBerry. But it's really nice, it's handy. In fact, I just wrote an article saying, even after I got an iPhone to use for a while, I still carry the BlackBerry, just because I think I'm an old guy, and like, you know, it's nice that the iPhone impresses people, and they're like, ooh, you know, they all want to see it. But like for day-to-day, making your email, which is really what I need, I mean, the BlackBerry is better, and that's what I use. So I would say that. Although I am probably going to buy an iPod Touch. I'm kind of psyched about that that little touch thing for carrying photos. So, we'll see.
So, you know,
I should have said a Zune, right? Was that the right answer?
The
Zune 80 is where I am actually begging them to send me a Zune 80. And if anybody from, I'm looking at the camera, if anyone from Microsoft gets this, please, I want a Zune 80 for
you
a review.
You want a Zune 80, we'll get you a Zune 80.
That's the big screen, right? I just got email today saying they'll send me one, so I'm very excited about the Zune 80.
Nice.
And I know I shouldn't say that because everybody who reads my blog will now, you know, get upset.
So
they really take it personally. They don't like it.
So under Forbes, you wrote an article that kind of took a shot at the Apple TV. And
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Xbox, right?
Yeah, and you took a little bit of flack from that. What's the story behind that?
The thing. So I wrote a story saying that, you know, ironically, when you think of home and media and blah, 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 who's in the lead? Who's got the best product? You'd think Apple. But in fact, if you hook up a Vista machine with Media Center and an Xbox and a TV tuner hooked up to the Vista machine, it's a really amazing combination. And it really worked. And I tell you, I was skeptical. They sent me all this stuff, and I hooked it all up. And I'm not very, you know, techie. And it was really easy to hook up. And I was like, and I've never had an Xbox, and I don't really play video games. But my nephews were all, like, totally psyched. They were like, Xbox, you know? But yeah, it really worked really, really well. So I wrote a thing saying, you know, I hate to say it, but like this has features that you can't get on Apple TV, you know, and it's seamless and it's really nice and it worked really, really well. And yeah, so people who read my blog were like, well, some people, they were actually blog, I don't know if you saw these articles where people said, you know, Fake Steve is a fake Apple fan, he's not really. It's like, dude, you know, like, I mean, it's a character. I'm writing, you know, it's shtick, right? I mean, it's fun and I like doing it and I do like Mac computers and, you know, whatever, but like, you know, it's like, I guess people think like they're let down now if I haven't, you know, drunk the Kool-Aid or something. I don't know. It's like, Anyway.
Well, thanks for sitting down with us today. We all really enjoyed your talk.
Well, thank you. I really had a fun time coming here. So it was great. Thanks.